Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham. And on this edition, we are going to go back to the Depression era of the time of Prohibition, but we're going to stay firmly planted in the 2020s because we are going to talk about the musical Whisper Darkly. And we have got Andrew Gerla and DJ Salisbury with me because they have written the show Whisper Darkly. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
Great to be here.
Andrew, you wrote music and lyrics, and DJ, you wrote the book for the show. And the album, the concept album, was just released on TBIC Music Group label this past Friday, February 23rd. And it's a electro swing musical, which is kind of an interesting concept. I was not familiar with electro swing, I will admit, but we're going to get to that in a second. But I thought, let's start by talking about how did you two come together to actually work on this project?
Well, Andrew and I met, I had a writer's group that was around for about 5 years called the Musical Writers Playground. And we did, we had various songwriting teams working and presenting material on occasion. And I think Andrew came in as a music director, right, Andrew, first as a music
director? Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, this was in New York. This was in the 90s, I want to say, right?
Right, the very late 90s.
Yeah.
And so we met there, and then one of my partners in that endeavor, V. Paul Boyle, he asks both of us to work together on a television pilot pitch where we would be writing a musical for teenagers to be rehearsing in this reality TV show. Mm-hmm. That never happened, but we wrote a few songs for the pretend show that those teens would have been rehearsing. And we enjoyed the process. We enjoyed the collaboration. So, cut to when I was looking for new ideas, and I had become enamored of immersive theater. And I really questioned, is it possible to do an immersive style show where the audience can make different choices and also deliver a very clear beginning, middle, and end narrative in musical theater form?
Mm-hmm.
So it began as a kind of an experiment. Can this work? And I thought, who better than Andrew Gerla, because of I really esteem him as a fabulous composer, lyricist, to go on this journey with me to see if we can make this work.
So, Andrew, explain, what is electro swing, please?
So electro swing has been around for, I want to say, maybe 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. But it's really starting to become very, very popular now, especially in Europe, but also in this country. It is sort of what it sounds like. So it's a combination of 20s jazz and vaudeville musical styles, structures, idioms, vocabulary, plus 21st century EDM electronic dance beats.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the great richness and melodic strengths of jazz and the classic forms, but you also get the excitement of these electronic beats that make you feel like you're hearing something new. And when DJ came to me with this idea, I thought, well, that sounds great. How can we make the audiences of today feel like audiences of 1928 would have felt going to a jazz club?
Mm-hmm.
Because what we didn't want is for our show to feel like it was sort of antique music, like your great grandmother would have been listening to on a 78. That's not fun. That doesn't feel like a new, exciting night out. How can we do both? Electro swing was the answer. And I had just happened to have started to be listening to it at the time that he came to me. I was playing it at all my parties. I thought this was so much fun. I didn't know that I could figure out how to write for it, but I was like, oh, I'll figure it out.
Well, and it makes sense because, you know, the era we're talking about, the late 20s, the jazz was becoming, I mean, jazz had become the music, which was new especially for the clubs in New York, in terms of the style of music. Now, it made its way into some of the black clubs in New York prior to that, but now it was becoming much more mainstream, and it was sort of the new style of music and the new style of dance and things like that in the clubs. And so it makes sense for you to use that as a starting point to create a new style of music for this kind of show. Like you said, you're trying to make the audience feel like they're being exposed to a brand new experience, right?
Exactly. We always say the show should feel like half 1928 and half 2020.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you get when you listen to the album. Because when I listened to the album, I was like, this is it. You can feel the 1920s style, but it does sound really modern. I mean, it's got the modern, like you said, the electronic stuff in it, which is really terrific.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. That's great to hear.
It is great. And I think, you know, if we have people sitting in their seats and their body has to move, mm-hmm. we've succeeded.
So where did the idea for the show itself come from then?
Well, I will say it essentially came from, I said, what would it be like to do an immersive piece? What environment will have us be able to more clearly and readily control what people see, what they get? Mm-hmm. And well, maybe being seated for at least a good portion of this isn't a good idea. And it occurred to me, speakeasy. In a speakeasy, people would come to see the floor show, be social, but come have drinks, sit at tables and chairs, and possibly see a floor show. And that's where I thought that's the way we can, to the greater degree, know where they are, when they are, and give them later opportunities to get up and move about. So that we really establish the story at the top, they're seated, and it's a floor show. So that's how the speakeasy came into being. And then the characters, I started peopling this speakeasy with characters that I found colorful.
Give the listeners, without giving too much away, give them a bit of a breakdown of the setting and the plot and some of the characters.
Sure. Andrew, why don't you give us some of your version of Topeka, for example?
Okay. So the first person we meet is the proprietress. Her name is Topeka McShane, and she runs this club with an iron fist. She is a powerful woman who has really figured out a way to run a business, a criminal enterprise, let's remind ourselves, mm-hmm. in 1928, in the middle of New York City, in this man's world. It's very much based on a real life woman named Texas Guinan. And she mm-hmm. was the queen of the nightclubs here in New York. And she would open a nightclub and then it would get raided and she would go off to jail and wave to the cameras. And the next night she would open it up literally next door. She was absolutely fantastic. And that spirit, I think, was a great inspiration for Topeka, because she does have this incredible business acumen. But she also takes care of all the girls in her company fiercely. And that was a really interesting color that DJ came up with for her. And it was a beautiful one to put to music.
Password.
Bite. He'll make it right. We make the night.
criminals. Don't I know? Just look what the cat dragged into my hush club. Thirsty for a good time or just not sure how you got here or who to blame?
Hey, Dora, ain't that your fault?
For any first timers here tonight, we'll be gentle. I understand you may be a little trepidatious. That's a big word my mama taught me. It's spelled V-I-R-G-I-N. But no need for concern, my good, good people. Topeka takes care of her babies. Just follow my house rules and no one ends up in handcuffs. Unless you ask real nice.
Not too nice.
Now I know sinning don't come natural to some folks. Sinning can be hard.
That's how you know it's worth.
But don't worry if sinning don't come easy. It's like they say, practice makes perfect. And tonight, you're gonna practice till you get it right. So make a noise.
Make a noise.
Hey, make a scene.
Make a scene.
And if we wash your mouth out later, it won't be Listerine.
Sing.
Let's have some fun.
Listen up.
Rule number one.
Ask for it.
Two.
Tweet, tweet. Shake, shake.
Three.
Double time.
As Andrew said, she is no nonsense when it comes to her business. No nonsense. And then there's Evie, who's another of the three women that we follow through the course of the evening. And Evie has recently come to Manhattan and recently come into this club. And we learn that she is the niece of Topeka. We get an inkling that something wasn't good where she was coming from in her home in Kansas. So she seems to have, to some degree, be escaping something and looking for a new world, a new place to be, a new place to belong. So that's how Evie starts the show. But there too, Topeka, we don't know exactly why, but Topeka's hard on her specifically, as we sometimes are on the people that we love most. And so she challenges Evie because Evie isn't quite up to snuff when it comes to some of the choreography. And Topeka comes down hard on her. But still, it's from a place of love that she behaves thus.
Evie is also kind of the way that the audience experiences the club. Because Evie's a newcomer. We are newcomers. We haven't been to this club before. And we get to learn about this world and to, not to critique it, but to... So Evie really has a big decision to make over the course of the evening, which is, who am I going to be in this new city? And... is this actually the life for me?
Right. It's a journey for her to find out something. Also, an interesting way that we've structured the music and how Evie's music, more so than any other character, is her inner thoughts. Most of the other music is part of the floor show. Now, even still, Andrew's done a brilliant job of having those floor show numbers also reflect the dynamics of the relationships backstage.
Mm-hmm.
But when Evie sings, primarily we are hearing her inner thoughts. So you get both of those ways of telling story through music.
Right. So she's sort of the conduit for the audience into the show.
Absolutely.
I know what they think. I know what they see. Stupid hick from nowhere, Kansas. Stringy hair and calloused hands. A simp, a weakling, a rube. They're right. That's who I was before. But is there somewhere someone more? Who's Evie now? Is she sweet or sly or hard as brass? Snapped by a breeze or does she snap back? Dry her tears, put her war paint on, get off her ass. I've no clue. Who's Evie now? Plain and shy. The kind of girl you'd walk right by. As bold as bread. you'd miss me in an empty shed. I knew one song in one key. A chorus of no, I'll be fine, don't mind me. But who's leaving now? Is she flirty, girly, dripping class? Everyone's friend or a python? No matter which, gotta learn that I ain't made of glass and find out. A world where I call the shots, star of the show, and not some mouse from the prairie. Maybe, maybe. Is there a game where I hold the cards? The rules aren't so hard, so ugly, so scary. Maybe, maybe. I'm sick of Evie, quick to please. Excuse the bruises on her knees, so shameful, blameful. Is there a me who writes her own songs, chooses the key? Who would that be? And what if I'm not that strong?
I'm not that strong.
What if I get it wrong?
There's a one more. There's another female character, right? There's three main female characters, right?
Yes. The third one is Wysandria Cole Davis, and she is the international singing sensation. She's roughly based on a Josephine Baker type. Mm-hmm. So she started off in New York, didn't get anywhere as a performer for various reasons, including racist club owners and just the general sense of New York at the time. So she went to Paris. She had the incredible courage to go to another country and became a huge, huge star. And she is just back in town briefly to visit her old friend Topeka. And so she comes up on stage and does one of her big numbers. And she and Topeka do a number together. But then these stories all crash together by the end of the evening. All three of these women, their lives have been changed in ways they never expected. And it's a satisfying conclusion, the way that Wysandria's life also ends up sort of getting a 180 just by having come to this club at this particular night.
Like the things that can happen in one night. Yes.
Yeah. And that's always the question when you're writing a show is like, why this night? Why is this night different than any other night? to quote someone else. And I think that's what makes this show really interesting, because it is in real time, right? It's actually happening in real time. This is what would have happened on this evening in 1928. And I love the sense of time travel that you can get from an immersive show like that. And that's what we wanted to capture.
Right. And that's what I was going to ask you, because it's a challenge when you're doing an immersive show, because you are doing it in real time as opposed to, you know, a traditional musical theater piece, which you can cover years, you can cover, you know, decades sometimes in one show. And here you're actually covering a two and a half hour time span of a show, and everything has to happen in real time. And you still have to be able to get your narrative across. So talk about what your writing process was in terms of, did you write like a complete libretto and then decide where the songs were going to go? Did you write songs for, I mean, how did you, what was your process like? Because having been a librettist myself, and working with a songwriter, everybody has a kind of a different process in how they put a show like this together.
You know, it's exactly that. We sort of found our way through, because both Andrew and I have written other musicals that are much more traditional in terms of their genesis.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit of a, like, let's just figure this out. So we did do a little writing retreat. I now live in Orlando, Florida, and Andrew came down, and we had a week of, like, how are we going to approach this? So there were moments where I suggested some lyrics that Andrew made far better. And there were other times when he would go in the guest room and disappear for a couple of hours and come back out with some lyrics. But overall, there was a sense of these characters. We started really with the characters and their relationships and had an idea of where we were headed, which did change, of course. We had an idea of where we were headed with Topeka and how the story would wrap up. But it was the character development that I think was where we really tried to find what are they going to say? How are we approaching this? And then the plot developed through the characters and their relationships.
And one thing that was really clever that DJ had come up with at the beginning was that we're not just stuck watching what happens on stage.
Mm-hmm.
We have all these theatrical devices. We can scrim through. We can peek backstage. We can get a look into the dressing room and see what's going on there, what's happening backstage. We can, during one number, there's a whole scene that takes place at the bar. So the audience would turn their attention from the stage, listen to what's happening at that conversation while another number is going on stage. It really, it's 360, and it allows for a lot of flexibility in terms of the amount of story that we can tell is sort of exponentially greater because we have all these different devices and different ways of peeking into different playing areas.
Right. And I was going to say immersive gives you challenge. It poses a lot of challenges because you don't have an audience that is sitting facing one direction, a proscenium stage where you can focus their attention on one specific spot and you can literally stop the music and songs and give them a scene, as opposed to an immersive production where you cannot necessarily focus their attention all the time and they can be looking around. But it also gives you a lot of opportunities because you can be much more creative in terms of how you stage things and how you tell your story. So I would imagine, DJ, that gave you a lot of wonderful opportunities to flex your creative muscles.
Yeah, so as Andrew said, we're using theatrical devices. We even think that we wanted there also to be a blend of technologies of what could have been what you buy into as true in 1928, but also some interesting new technologies, video, for example. So there are moments in the show where we do take audience members from the main space into private areas. They're called private tastings. That's one of the moments that happens. And we will have what seem to be paintings around the club that become video monitors. So we actually see what's happening in those offstage spaces to those audience members that have been pulled aside. So that's, again, where we're going to use technology so we can let people in on. We get to be voyeurs throughout the evening. We are voyeurs throughout the evening. And then two, just an example of the In the Round, the 360. In the opening number, we will have one of our cast members look like they are a contemporary person who's there at the club with the other patrons, the other audience members, who's a little too drunk. And our doorman will throw them out. And when that door slams, we want the audience to turn their heads so that all the focus goes there to what's happening at the door with the doorman and the drunk person that is being thrown out. So I'm excited about that. It is interesting for me as a writer and director to know, how can I make sure they get the information they need at any given moment? So it's a challenge, but it's a fun one.
And one of the great things about using electro swing is that it opens up all this technological theatrical magic that would have been a little weird, I think, if the music had just been, you know, a couple of saxophones and a guitar. Then all of a sudden you have projection mapping lights and LCD screens and that. What is that? But when the music is already telling you, wait, no, we're in two different time periods, then that opens up all sorts of possibilities and opportunities to use any kind of theatrical technology that we can come up with.
Right. And I think one of the things that I found really attractive about this is that as you guys both will know, is that one of the things that's been so difficult for theater is that the audiences are aging out. And I think that a show like this with the electro swing and what you're talking about with the use of technology is going to attract a younger audience. And that's what theater really needs to survive, is to attract a younger audience. And this is the kind of show that can do that, because it does, it is going to bring in a younger audience with the sound of the music and what you're talking about in terms of the theatrical experience. And I think a younger audience is going to be a lot more open and accepting to the visual stuff that you're talking about and the actual experience of being in that kind of an immersive space, right?
Yeah, I think so. And another aspect, of course, is the choreography. Mm-hmm. Whenever we don't have a choreographer lined up yet, but our vision for it is really contemporary music video choreography. Like, this is mm-hmm. not people doing Charlestons, or, you know, not just people doing Charlestons. It's a completely, you know, 2024 version of club dancing, which mm-hmm. is what the Charleston was. The Charleston was a club dance.
Mm-hmm. And was also, you know, it, when it first appeared, it was like, oh, that's too much. But so we want something that pushes that envelope choreographically as well.
Yeah, it will definitely look like a very, very modern show.
Yes.
Wrapped in this,
right,
in this period wrapping paper.
Stop that racket! Stop that noise! This place is filled with vice and vicious boys.
Oh, honey, that's just the band. Ain't you ever been sexed up? That tongue'll make a girl sing.
Whiskey speakeasies, another trend. I know where this avenue ends. So listen close, my tailored, wayward friends. Too much fun, fun. You start out at a party, but you end up in the slammer. Too much fun, fun. It tastes so good at first. Buttons undone. The bubble's causing trouble from New York to Alabama. One day, you stray and find you're singing songs you never rehearsed.
Poor baby's having a temperance tantrum.
One drink leads to another. How about a nightcap? Everything seems so gay. Soon you're calling your mother, feeling not so madcap. That's when you hear her say, too much fun, fun. You think you're in the pink, but soon your salad days are done. 'Cause too much fun, fun kills you quick as a gun.
Here you go.
What's it?
Flip calls it jazz water.
Refreshing.
Why are you wasting good hooch on a blue nose?
Yeah, that's a tomato. Always does what a mommy tells her.
Not always. Bartender, another jazz water!
Too much fun, fun.
No reason to be freezing. Life is hot if you can grab it.
Too much fun, fun.
And ain't he debonair? I'm no nun, son. Some people like a steeple, but I got another habit. I pray.
Too much fun, fun. Too much fun, fun. Too much.
Too Much Fun is what life's all about.
Let's talk about the album itself and putting this album together, because it's a big undertaking. I know that it took a couple of years to get this all together.
It did.
Because I've been doing my research, and I found Andrew's, I saw your video about you were getting finished and you were going about to start mastering the album.
Yes.
I watched all that video. So talk about the process and the whole concept of actually putting the album together before you actually have the show, you know, out there, and what it was like putting this together, because you had an amazing group of talent involved in this. I mean, yeah, I'm not talking about necessarily just the singers, but you've got an amazing arranger, producer, you've got musicians. Talk.
Yeah. It ended up being just beyond what we could possibly have dreamed. You know, we had put together these tracks. I had started the version of these electro swing tracks. I learned a little bit. I was able to, you know, doctor up some rudimentary beats, that sort of thing, with the software that's available right now. Enough to give us and some other people a sense of what it might sound like. So I had these tracks, but I knew, I mean, when I even started, I'm like, I can't do this by myself. So we had reached out to one of the top electro swing arrangers in the world. His name is Pisk. He goes by Pisk. His name is Roberto Costa, and he lives in Sicily, actually. We had reached out to him and didn't hear back. And then we talked to some other people, and they weren't quite right. So we reached out to him again a year later. And he responded right away. Apparently, the first one had gotten lost. And he's like, this looks really interesting. I would love to try this. So we had started a collaboration. We had started to make better tracks by the time we got to our Orlando workshop. So we had these tracks that were in okay shape. And we thought, well, this album of all albums seems like could work brilliantly as an album, because like we said before, the vast majority of these songs are written for the stage show in the Hush Club. So they're standalone numbers. The ballads also, they're just little moments in time. You don't have to know what the story is to enjoy them. We have these tracks that are in good shape and will get in better shape. Why not make an album of this? And to introduce the score and these characters to the world. So we decided that was what we were going to do. And then it did take about 2 years because for various reasons. One was just scheduling. We have 15 actors and 12 musicians on this album. Incredible Tony-nominated, Grammy-nominated actors and jazz musicians. We also have Roberto, who was in Palermo working on these tracks. We tried mixing them, via WhatsApp. That does not work at all. It's just not possible. So I got to go to Palermo a few times to work with him in his studio.
And still agreeing with Envy. Just
so. I know. I'm so sorry. I'm very sorry you couldn't
go with
this.
You made the sacrifice to go to Palermo.
I did. I took one for the team.
Yes.
But that took many, many months. The recording took many, many months just to get these incredible singers together. And then what we didn't expect is, you know, we're trying to combine these two very distinct genres into one new sound. And it needed to satisfy both as a music theater album, where you really can hear all the lyrics and the voices are clear and the storytelling is strong. But it also has to feel like a really exciting electro swing album, with the beats are really heavy and the dynamic range is huge. And trying to marry those two in the mixing mastering process, that was we had to learn some new tricks. So that took a little extra time too. But it turned out really beyond what I could have expected.
It definitely did. When I first got the album, I was a little trepidatious. I mean, because I didn't understand electro swing that much.
Sure.
But I thought, oh, is this going to be heavy synthesizers? Is it going to be, am I going to be able to understand the lyrics? Is it going to be heavy dance music? And it's not really going to sound like a musical theater album. And I was wrong, because it does sound like a cast recording. It really does. Great. It sounds like a musical theater piece. The songs sound like musical. I mean, you're right. The songs do stand alone, but when you listen to the album, and my listeners get sick of hearing this, but I tell them always, please dedicate the time to listen to the album from beginning to end in one sitting, because it is telling you a narrative story. So you need to listen to it from beginning to end. And when you do see that there is a storyline, there are characters, and the songs do actually make sense when you think about them in a narrative structure, because they are character-driven songs. And you can hear the lyrics. They sound like they're being sung by musical theater people with legitimate musical theater voices. But they do have an electronic dance music beat behind them. And so it's a really perfect blend of the two, and it doesn't feel at all out of place in a musical theater setting, which is really nice. It sounds like a modern musical theater piece with really very talented cast. I mean, you've got Howard McGillen, you've got Ali Mazzi, Brad Oscar, Claiborne Elder. I mean, you've got an amazing lineup of performers on this. I was stunned when because I didn't actually look at the cast list until after I was finished listening to it.
Oh, wow.
No, I didn't. I mean, I knew from the PR email I got initially, I knew a couple people, right. But I didn't really know who was singing what when I first listened. I mean, I knew Howard McGillen's voice, obviously, but
right.
A lot of them, I wasn't really quite sure who I was listening to right away, but I went back and looked the second time I listened through, and it's just an amazing cast, and everybody's got moments to shine like crazy, because there's so many great songs on the album.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, that was really one of the joys is to write for these characters, but then find the absolute perfect people to embody them and to find people who could both sound like contemporary artists, but also wouldn't be out of place in a jazz club.
Right.
And that takes a real special kind of performer. And we found all of them.
The shadows, romance in the shade. Sunlight can't scorch you, so passions don't fade. You get lost in the dark, still you'd never trade. Love in the shadows, the game I've always played. Love in the shadows, no need to explain. You're not the toast of the town, still you down the champagne. You're the verse no one knows, not the timeless refrain. But with love in the shadows, how can you complain? And so it goes. You're no one's rose, never worn on their lapel. You kiss and never tell. There's power in half-light, security too. What never begins can never be through. When love's in the shadows, you never hear adieu. Amour dans les ombres, like tunes from the wings. No sumptuous love songs, they're more down to earth things. If there's no violins, that's because there's no strings. Love in the shadows. Love in the shadows. Love in the shadows. The only song he sings.
And I also want to let listeners know that just because it's an electronic music, it's not all synthesizers. There are musicians involved. As you said, you've got 12 musicians performing, including very well-known musicians, because you can hear them on the album. There are musicians playing.
That's the joy of electro swing, is this combination of a live sax section and a gypsy guitar plus a beat behind it.
Right. That's what people, I mean, when they see it, I don't want them to think it's just all synth. Because it's not.
No, it's very little synth. Actually.
It's very little synth. Yeah, there's synth, real music there.
Well, they're pads. They're textures. There's a little bit of magical sparkle around some things. But for the most part, no. It is. We have a live bass player for everything. There's no electric bass in this. It's a live acoustic bass player. It's a fabulous Grammy nominated jazz violinist, Sarah Caswell. One of the hottest young trumpeters played. For Jazz at Lincoln Center, Alfonso Horn, a live drummer. All the instruments are live. They're just in. What are you saying, DJ?
Accordion.
And the accordion. We have this incredible. So one of the joys of going to Palermo is that Roberto brought in some of his brilliant jazz, Italian jazz musicians. So we have phenomenal accordion virtuoso, amazing sax player from there. And it's a real international work, which I think is really exciting because electro swing is an international genre. Right. It has a huge worldwide appeal. We also did a little bit of production with a wonderful producer out of Bogota. So that's a third continent heard from. Alistair Brammer, big West End star. He was in Les Mis movie and he was in Saigon over there. He recorded his songs from Glasgow. So we did a remote recording session where I zoomed in. A lot of this were, these were techniques that we had to learn in the pandemic, but now we have them. Let's use them.
Right. Of course. Well, it gives you access to artists all over the place, which is really terrific.
Yeah, exactly.
So you talk about the workshop. I did not know that you guys had a workshop. How did that go? And how did you pull that off with an immersive piece like this?
Amazing. Well, We fell into the luck bucket, as they say. I live in Orlando, Florida now. And the reasons I moved there was because there's a very large talent pool. Mm-hmm. And because I'm interested in new work and developing new work, I thought, well, let me go. If I'm going to move out of New York City, let me go where I know there is a talent pool to help to develop things. So brought Andrew down. We had done reading in New York, and we had determined we'd bring a few people from New York as well. So we had three people from New York, but the rest were cast in Orlando. And the luck bucket I'm talking about is there was a dance studio with multiple spaces that was leaving town, so to speak. The person who owned the studio was going to another state. We happened to time our workshop when that person had one more month in that dance studio with no classes. So we got use of the entire space, including the alternate other rooms, which are useful for our immersive piece, for I won't even say the dollar amount. It's embarrassing because it was so cheap. But it really was great that we were able to do a full costumes, lighting. We did higher sound in that dance studio. We made our speakeasy in the dance studio. And it was really, we meant it to be proof of concept to say, does this work? Will people be engaged? Will they participate willingly in the things we ask them to do when we split them up into different spaces? And the answer is yes, they were very willing and very interested and very engaged by, I was fascinated watching the audiences, like just trying to soak it all in. Like they didn't want to miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very exciting. So we feel like we did prove our concept that people are interested in this delivery of a musical theater piece.
And it was actually very moving because this was in August of 2021 in Orlando, Florida, where they weren't having the best record of keeping people healthy. They were so hungry. They were so excited to come out and see a live theater piece. It was really special, and no one got sick. We kept everyone safe, and it was really wonderful. We had, like we said, we had done a couple of little readings here in New York, but with an immersive piece, like you don't know what you're looking at, especially mm-hmm. since at the end of the show, there's like four different playing areas that are happening simultaneously.
Well, I was going to ask you, so it's more than just immersive. It's actually you are splitting people up to have simultaneous things going on in different areas, right?
Yeah. I mean, not to give anything away, but I'm going to give it away. There is a police raid. And
okay.
The police are distracted momentarily. And while they're distracted momentarily, the people of the club split the audience into three, possibly four different spaces. In those spaces, a scene occurs. Nothing that you need to have to complete the story, but you get your very own special moment in one of those rooms with some of the actors. Example being with Sandria, she takes people into the liquor lock area. So if guests of the Hush Club have come and they had their special liquor, they're in lock boxes. So she takes them into that space. And while they're there, they get a reprise of the song they heard her sing earlier, but with some maybe naughty lyrics. So she's ready to have a party in the back in that space.
And of course, she has access to her friend Cab Calloway's private stash. You can figure out the combination. It's that kind of thing.
So it's fun that those are not scary sidebars, but they're fun. It's about a cooperative puzzle. How do we figure something out together to be able to go back to the main room with this information or so that we can complete the story?
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I've been in those before. And obviously the trick is if you're with a group of people, you want to split yourselves up as much as you can so that everybody is gathering other pieces of information.
Right.
So that when you come back, you can share with your group that what you've learned in the other rooms. But I wasn't sure if that's what you guys had planned in this or whether it was just all in one room and you were just kind of involved. But interesting. Good. So what does 2024 hold for Whisper Darkly? Do we have plans? I know the album is out now. So, yes. And I'm assuming you guys have already been getting some feedback from people who have heard the album already, like myself, because I've had it for a couple weeks now. So what's the feedback been? Are people interested? Is there something planned? Is there something on the horizon?
Well, people have been very, very excited about the show. They've been very, very nice about the new sound and the storytelling and the characters. Yes, I mean we have significant interest in London, actually.
Oh.
To start with, there's actually a space in London that is perfect for this, and we are just trying to put the pieces together and find that lead producer who's going to come on board and say, yes, I can see where this can go. And just take us across the finish line. We have a vision for Whisper Darkly, which is that it exists in various cities, and each of its locations is totally different,
mm-hmm.
different styles, different feels that reflect the city that it's in. So, I mean, that's what would be the ultimate goal for us, is to have different Hush clubs.
Yes,
that you can go from one to the other. And have you seen the one in San Francisco?
In Shanghai, yes, let's go.
Yeah, right, exactly. And what's also fun, and what we would like to pursue, is that once you have created the Hush Club for Whisper Darkly, you then own a nightclub. I mean, literally, you now own a nightclub. So when after or before a Whisper Darkly performance or on a dark night, you have a jazz club, you have a cabaret club, you can do comedy, you can or just have it open for drinks. Like it's a full on business that happens to have an immersive musical in it.
Yes.
Right.
So we're hoping that that will be a really fun draw for investors and producers and for audiences.
And I can see, I mean, I can see the show doing really well in London. The London theater audiences are different than the New York theater audiences. And the theater experience in general in London, especially these days, is so different. The venues are so different, and the willingness to do something a little bit more experimental is totally different over there, as we've seen with the Kit Kat Club and Cabaret.
Yeah, exactly.
They're immersive Guys and Dolls that's been going on over there. I mean,
they're really in front of us a little bit in the immersive. So
they are.
It's
yeah,
great place to start, and then
the huge success of even their smaller theaters and their off West End is thriving over there with new shows and what they're producing. So I can definitely see something like Whisper Darkly going over big over there. And I can see that they would really like the music as well. So
I hope so. I hope so. And then we'll bring it home to New York.
Bring it home to New York. Yes. New York is always such a tough nut to crack. It really is.
It really is. But it belongs here, I think, eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can see this doing well in major cities in the U.S. I really could. I mean, San Francisco would be ideal for this if you could get into San Francisco. L.A. is always a tough one.
One thing that's fun about us is that we don't want a proscenium theater.
Right.
It actually does not work in a proscenium theater.
We need
some weird, big, empty warehouse space.
Well, unless you're gonna do an overhaul like they did to the Broadway theater for Here Lies Love.
Yes. Yeah, But even that, the Broadway theater is never going to feel like a speakeasy.
No, right.
You need to feel like it's a little bit secret, like you're in on something.
Right.
Right. You don't want a massive venue.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
So I think that's in our favor, actually.
No, I do too. I do too. Because you're gonna get much more interesting spaces and flexible spaces, which
and you have to wait on a theater to be available.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
So. That's terrific. I congratulate you guys because the album is terrific. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what's next. I'm assuming you don't have any other projects pending at this point. Your focus, I'm assuming, is on Whisper Darkly, and that's it, right? I mean, you guys have other things you're working on. I know, DJ, you are working on a show right now.
Currently in tech for a production of Kinky Boots in Florida. Literally our first day of tech today. And
that's always fun. Tech is always fun.
I like tech. I really enjoy tech. Yes. Like I'm one of those people who I think tech is like the set and the costumes and the lighting. That's the machine. And the show is the sugar, and you're pouring the sugar into the machine. It makes cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
Put it all together and whips up a beautiful, fun thing that never existed before. But that's what I'm doing currently. And I have another project that's not immersive, but is a dance theater piece that's on my radar next.
And I'm just about to go back into the studio to finish up another year-long recording project. It's an album for cello and piano. I'm also a classical pianist, so I'm teaming up with this fabulous concert cellist. And we are recording a two-disc set of piano and vocal music arranged for piano and cello. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
Just about to finish that up this weekend, so I'm very excited.
That's terrific. And you're also still teaching, correct?
Yes, exactly. Still at Manhattan School of Music.
That's right. People can find you because I found lots of videos of you teaching classes online.
Oh, yes, I do sometimes
put
up little talks.
So if you want to learn about singing for musical theater, you just need to look Andrew up because he's all over YouTube.
On the Instagram.
That's right. Instagram. I found you on YouTube and all sorts of places.
Yes,
so does Whisper Darkly have a website where people can find out about the show, or where should they find about the show? Tell me.
It is easy. WhisperDarkly.com.
Perfect.
And then on TikTok and Instagram, we have, it's just at Whisper Darkly Musical. And a YouTube as well. Yeah. So we're trying to populate them all with all sorts of great content. And I'm actually making some videos that should be coming out in this next week, different interviews and sort of introducing each of the main characters one at a time. So there'll be plenty for people to watch.
Dive on in.
Perfect. Well, I will include a link to the main website on the radio show page so people can find it. And I encourage people to check out the album. And if they can, please purchase a download. Don't just stream it, because the streaming doesn't really give these guys even a few pennies. Purchase it. It's cheap. It helps. Please purchase the download. So listen and listen to it from beginning to end, as I always preach. Thank you guys. Thank you, DJ and Andrew, for coming on. I really appreciate it. You guys are terrific. The album is wonderful. It is called Whisper Darkly, and it's got a wonderful lineup of talent. So I hope you guys will be back sometime soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us.
Very much appreciate it.
Took my last date to a popular spot, the kind with a hole in the door. When the band started in, how she started to trot all by herself onto the floor. I said, may I have this dance? And it was off to the races. She did the latest step and broke my arm in three places. Oh, it's hard to be a jazz age Johnny when you can't keep up with the girls. I took a fair lass to an intimate club, hoping to set the right mood. When the meal arrived, she said, hey, this is good grub. I ain't never had such fancy food. I was glad when she asked to take some home to have later. I didn't know that she would also take home the waiter. Oh, it's hard to be a jazz age Johnny when you can't keep up with the girls. They say that life's a party full of wine and jazz and fun. I found the address, but I think I'm here late, 'cause I go to the buffet and I come back with just a plate. I'm so hungry. Reminds me of my childhood. I was born in a Brooklyn tenement between 9 and 10. Boy, was that bed crowded. A bottle of wine for a posh tete-a-tete cost me a half a month's pay. Although I was told it was the best you could get, she tried it and pushed it away. She said, I'll get something else. Can you give me a dollar? That's when I found out she likes her bottles much smaller. Oh, it's hard to be a jazz age Johnny when you can't keep up. I can't keep up. My nephew is a very sweet young man. Always asks if he can join the ladies. I say, sure, but what will you do with one big lady? After dinner in town with a darling cashier, I asked what the evening might hold. My fingertips brushed, she blushed ear to ear. I could tell I would have to be bold. I said, may I walk you home? The stars twinkling above you. She said, I'd like that, sir. And my husband will love you. Oh, it's hard to be a jazz age Johnny when you can't keep up with the girls and their husbands and their girlfriends and their boyfriends and their dogs and their cats. Even in my purple spats, it's too hard to be a jazz age Johnny when you can't, I can't, no, I can't keep up with the girls.